Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rugby with Pads. Today is our week six review show, I guess, and our week seven waiver wires show. Trying to get back into the swing of doing this on a regular basis after having COVID, so bear with me, and hopefully this will be a half decent episode for you guys to listen to. I kind of just wanted to start with some initial reactions. It's been a bit of a weird week, hasn't it? I mean, some of those games were a bit suspect, I think it is best to say, and it kind of started with Thursday night football. It was just a bad game, wasn't it? And I don't know about you guys, but I was watching across the games on Red Zone on Sunday, and I've rewatched the game on Monday, which I'm really upset that I did, because it was just not very good. I kept it a bit of a secret to myself and then went back and watched it on Game Pass. Just not that impressive a showing, was it, by either side? And two sides that you would be thinking are competing. I mean, the Chargers at 4-2, yeah, you kind of get it. They're playing way above what their actual, like their record is better than they're playing. The Broncos, I don't think they're as bad as everyone thinks, really. Their defense is quality, but 2-4, when you'd be expecting them to be, yeah, I don't know, 5-1, 4-2 at this point in the season, it's a bit of a weird one. And there are lots of divisions out there that are just not doing that great, are they? I mean, it's funny, I support the Rams, and I'm thinking about, okay, the NFC West has, you know, historically, in the last few years, been known as being great. I mean, the Rams are the Super Bowl champions. They should be really good, but there's not a team in there with a winning record. And I look across the other leagues as well. You look across NFC South, Tampa Bay are at the top at 500, just ahead of the Falcons, based on head-to-head. The NFC North is weird, with Vikings at 9-1 and everyone else with, you know, drawing or losing records. The NFC East, weirdly, after being the trash league for so long, has really stepped up. The AFC West is competitive, and it will be competitive. The AFC South is trash. And how they have 3-2 and 1 teams, I have no idea. But, you know, and then we go into the AFC North again, no one with a winning record. And the AFC East is still wide open, with Miami Dolphins kind of falling over themselves and New York Jets playing out of skin. It's just a weird year so far. And I think it was kind of typified by some of the scores we saw at the weekend. I mean, there wasn't anything too surprising, maybe outside of the Giants and the Steelers potentially. But yeah, it was just a weird game, and I kind of left feeling a little bit icky. I don't know why, but with that, I'll kind of go through the things I think had a good day and a bad day. I'll just try and skip through this so we can get through to waivers pretty quickly, because that's what I know you're all wanting to get to. So I guess a good day, I think it was a really good day for lovers of running football. If I look at the Falcons, the Jets, the Vikings, the Giants, the Seahawks, and even Philly, they're all really impressive in the running game. And all of them won as well. So it's something like, oh, if you run the ball well, maybe you'll win. I mean, Philly, it was close. I kind of went on, you know, some of the kind of the passing versus running statistics, and Philly, I think they outgained their passing attack by 4 yards across their kind of three running backs and Jalen Hurts. So it was pretty close, but the Falcons barely threw it at all. Zach Wilson and the Jets, he threw for 110 yards, I think. The Vikings, the running game looked strong, although there was that big play. Saquon is just amazing, as is, you know, Ken Walker, who now wants to be called K9, I believe. I think that's his moniker now. Maybe it's his brand, I don't know. But yeah, if you really like running football, and even Monday Night Football, Eckler did amazingly. I know he didn't get much of it, but when he did, he broke off some really good runs and was really effective in the game. So yeah, it was a good day if you like running football. But conversely, it was definitely a bad day if you like QBs, and I guess fancy relevant QBs as well. There were a couple of them who were just a bit pants. Carson Wentz, you know, hurt his finger or something like that, and he's going to be on IR. I think he's got to have surgery on it. It's crazy. Jacoby Brissett, meh. He was not great. I'm just having a look at the box score here. Yeah. Oh, okay. He was okay, but, you know, he's prone to those mistakes, and mistakes that he hasn't been prone to all season. He's been playing beyond those, but you know they're in him. And he got outshone by Bailey Zappi, who, seventh-round rookie. I know he's a record-breaking seventh-round rookie, and I think it looks pretty interesting. We'll get into that in waivers in a bit. But yeah, funny game that. Aaron Rodgers just, yeah, we all watched that game. He just weirded out again. Brady is just dink and dunking. They're not really going after that high pace offense. And I know they face the Steelers, who have a bit of a banged up defense, but they're still an expensive defense and they're still good. But that was one of the kind of close games, and it really shouldn't have been. Maybe Brady shouldn't be attending weddings on Wednesdays before he's playing on Sunday. Who'd have thought missing a practice would make you a bit rusty? But, you know, we've got other weird and wonderful QB play. Whoever's playing at the Saints this next week, I'm a bit confused by what's happening. Is it Taysom Hill being the Wildcat Superman? It was one week and then it's not the next. Is it Andy Dalton who keeps throwing it to the ground when there's open receivers? I think they're going to go back to Jameis Winston because I think they've let Andy Dalton hang himself a little bit. But next week at the Panthers, I don't know who's going to play. It sounds like they're blowing it all up. Robbie Anderson obviously had some things to say to his coach, but PJ Walker did not play particularly well. I don't think anyone expected him to. I mean, 60 yards. And then we had Jacob Easton? I can't remember his name now. Jacob Easton. There we are. Again, I think he's a second-year player, but barely had a start as well. 59 yards, great, not fantastic. But on the other side of the ball, we have Matt Stafford not really looking like Matt Stafford of old. He's not really slinging it about a lot, but he did have a little bit of protection, which is helpful. But then you get, you know, in the NFC West, staying in the NFC West, we've got Cardinals versus Seahawks. Neither Kyler nor Geno really lived up to their potential. It's just a bit of a drab game. And likewise, the Monday Night Football Brigade, quarterback play in that was just gross, wasn't it? Just, you know, average depth of target, nothing. Just not great if you're interested in fancy relevant QBs beyond Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, who played in a barnstorm game. That was a great game. Just, yeah, that was a great one to watch. But going back to a good day, I think lovers of upsets, you know, lovers of running football and lovers of upsets have had a good day. And again, I'll speak to the same teams who you think are normally not ones you talk about, but the Falcons going to the 49ers and winning. Oh no, sorry, they didn't go. It was played in Atlanta, but still winning against the 49ers, who, yeah, they're a bit banged up in defense, but you'd expect them to come away with a win, wouldn't you? I know I said avoid the 49ers backfield, but mainly because of the confusion, but I didn't realize they'd be that bad. The Jets coming to get away against the Packers. I don't think that's happened for a long time. And for the Jets to be, well, for Zach Wilson under center to be undefeated now, that's great. They're going at 4-2. I think they're really interesting and a pretty spicy team. And as are the other New York team. I say the other New York team, Jersey team, because the only one playing in New York is actually the Buffalo Bills. Go look at a map. It's a bit funny. But yeah, the Giants are 5-1 now, and Daniel Jones not playing badly, but it was definitely an upset. Everyone expected Lamar to come back and be great, but the New York Giants got their first interceptions of the season. I think there was multiple interceptions. I remember seeing one. I'm sure there would have been another. I'm just going to have a quick look. Interceptions. Oh, I can't see it. No, they only got one. But regardless, they played solid in defense. I think Kayvon Thibodeau was kind of inspirational on that line as well. He kind of really, really G'd them up. And even though he didn't have the stat line to prove it, he was really good. And I think that was a bit of an upset. And it was really nice to see the Giants apply pressure on Lamar, because I think that's maybe indicative of the Ravens and Lamar in general. If you apply pressure on him, he crumbles a little bit. And I'd probably say the Seahawks is a bit of an upset, because I still don't think people really believe Geno is a starting quarterback, even though he's started a lot of games now, and he's had spates of time where he's been okay and been serviceable. No one really sees him as a starting quarterback, especially if you compare him to Kyler Murray, who is a number one pick. I know he plays video games all the time now, but there's so much around him. So I would call that an upset, even though maybe it didn't say it on the books, but because it's that rivalry game. But yeah, I think all those upsets, I think that there's a common theme across them, though. They all ran really, really well. And I think that maybe that's what we're seeing, that the defensive football is overtaking the offensive football. So kind of simplifying the offense and running really well and moving the line about and making those adjustments to get your your running backs, whoever they are, because even, you know, guys who aren't fantastic are running really well. I think that's really indicative, and maybe the way this season is going this year. But I think on the other side of it, it was a bad day if you enjoy watching good football. I can't really think of any moments outside of the Bills game that I really, really enjoyed watching. I mean, Monday Night Football was trash. As I said, I went back and watched it. It wasn't great. The NFC East clash on a Sunday night was okay, but it's all but decided at the half, really. Yeah, the Thursday Night Football was terrible. Rams and Panthers, aside from a little scare at the start, it was never really in doubt. You know, it feels like the schedule makers haven't really got it right, because even the Pats Browns, which I thought on paper with a third string quarterback against, you know, Jacoby Brissett, who's been playing okay, you know, he's not been playing great, but they've got a good supporting cast. I thought it'd be competitive. It just wasn't. Maybe their defense is just off. I don't know what it is, but across the board, there wasn't a lot of fun football. Even the big scoring games, the Jaguars and Colts, you just watch that game and just think, these two teams are beating themselves. And maybe it's still that kind of age-old adage, the season doesn't really start until Halloween / Thanksgiving, but it just doesn't feel like any of the teams are really stepping up in the way that you would expect to provide the product that we all want out of the NFL. So that's my two cents on the week. Let's move forward and have a look at how we did in the start and sits, the hits and sits, as we're calling them now. And I just want to kind of quickly go over it, because again, it mirrors some of the stuff I talked about, having good games and bad games and the kind of games we're playing. And if I look at my hits, I had Leonard Fournette, DK Metcalf, Ramondre Stevenson, who was my start of the week, and Devin Duvernay, and weirdly, the Rams DST. I just spoke about it not really being an offensive passing league at the moment. And if you look at the ones I hit on, Leonard Fournette ran it really well. Brilliant. Ramondre Stevenson ran it really well. Brilliant. The Rams had a very solid day on defense. Yeah, they all did great. You can't really complain about that. The ones that didn't do great are the pass catchers. DK Metcalf scored like 5 points. Devin Duvernay scored like 3. It just wasn't a game if you were on offense in the passing game. And the sits are kind of similar as well. So at the sits column, I had Marcus Mariota, I had the whole San Francisco backfield, Kenny Pickett, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and DJ Moore. I mean, Marcus Mariota, I wouldn't say is necessarily a hit, because he didn't throw it much. He didn't have much to do wrong, but he ran it really well. So can't complain there. And again, that speaks to the way we're going here. The San Francisco backfield, it was just a weird game for them. And I put them in there because there was so much uncertainty around them and they didn't run it well. They tried to throw it a lot. Jimmy G had a decent stat line, but they really didn't play to their strengths. And it was all very much through Debo and Ayuk. Ayuk had an amazing game. I really wish I'd picked up on that, but maybe he's the exception to the rule this week. Kenny Pickett, yeah, he was a sit, but that was more due to injury. I felt really bad for him. You know, concussions can ruin a young QB's career, so hopefully he's all right. CEH has just fallen off, and I thought it was going to be more of a competitive game, or so I thought he'd be more involved, but yeah, they needed to throw it more. But DJ Moore, it was obvious he's got PJ Walker at the helm, but it just shows that this year and this week in particular, offense really didn't rule the roost. It was all defense, all special teams and all of that. So I think I did all right in that though, in the predictions. So maybe I'm turning a corner when it comes to my predictions, but yeah, not a great night for football, let's call it. And I kind of continue on with my results for the week as well. So as you probably know, I talk about the three leagues that I'm kind of key in at the moment. I've got my home league where I was playing John, who we've heard from before. I played him again. I won against him in Dynasty a few weeks ago. However, I kind of predicted I'd lose this game. I played against another John in Dynasty, and I played against the 5-0 Boz in our kind of new beginnings, startup league as well, which is that 2QB league. My predictions were all right. I lost in spectacular fashion in both the home and Dynasty league, and I kind of want to just move away from that. I'm not doing great in those leagues. I'm still in the playoff picture in both, but I should be doing better based on what I talk about following my own predictions. Maybe I just need to warm up to season. Maybe I won't start winning and getting on a record until Thanksgiving myself. But I did, however, manage to take down the undefeated Boz in our startup league. I've gone, you know, toe to toe with him this season. I'm 5-1. He's 5-1 as well. So, you know, there's a lot to get there. And it wasn't just a win. It was a blowout. And, well, no, it wasn't quite a blowout. But there wasn't any chance he was going to get back into that game once I kind of lay down on Sunday afternoon. So, yeah, pretty happy with my results. I think it went as expected. I'm hoping for something better, but I'm going to be wheeling and dealing on the waiver wire today as well and going into Wednesday. So with that, I'll jump into the next segment after a little break and we'll go on into the waiver wires. So, week 7 waivers. This week, we've got a bit of a bi-pocalypse. I think some people were expecting it to be a bit of a bi-pocalypse last week because we had... who do we have on a bye? We had Detroit Lions go on a bye. They probably needed that rest after last week. It didn't go so great for them. And we had the Raiders on, so we lost people like Devontae Adams as well. But this week, let's focus on this week. That's what we care about. We have got the Rams, the Bills, the Vikings, and the Philadelphia Eagles on a bye. So that's losing a lot of resources. I mean, across QBs, you're losing probably 3, maybe 4 if you count Matt Stafford as a fancy relevant QB. So, but you know, Josh Allen, for any Josh Allen owners there, you drafted him high. You're losing him this week. Likewise, Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins, you probably picked up late, but he's been serviceable, and I think Matt Stafford will become serviceable. I think he just needs that rest and that O line, you know, support. Maybe the bye week they're in to go back to thinking. We're losing 5 to 7 fancy relevant wide receivers. I'm not counting Allen Robinson in that because he had a great game this week. Well, he had a touchdown this week. Maybe not a great game, but you've got Kupp, you've got Stephon Diggs, you've got Gabe Davis we're losing out on, Justin Jefferson, definitely AJ Brown, potentially Devontae Smith if you want to count that, and maybe Adam Thielen. So there's your 7 that you're talking about there. But again, that's a huge contingent that you're losing across the league as well. In the RB market, it's not too bad, but RB is thin anyway. You're losing Miles Sanders. You're losing Dalvin Cook. And I don't know who's going to be the Rams RB moving forwards now that Cam Akers has, for personal reasons, decided not to be there. But Darrell Henderson did okay, so you're losing him as well. Devin Singletary played way above and beyond what he should have done. And there's always someone in Philly who manages to spark up. Maybe it's a... maybe it's a Boston Scott game. I don't know who we're going to miss there. But again, you're still missing out on depth there. Tight ends, which is a dumpster fire of a position at the moment. You're losing 3 really good assets, I think, as well. I'm going to say two and a half maybe. But in the Bills, you're losing Dawson Knox, who has a lot of trust from Josh Allen. But you know, only in that stack, really, I think, is he ever worthwhile. But Dallas Goedert being a standalone, he's almost a receiver as well. So you're definitely losing him. And I think Irv Smith is an interesting one as well. I'm going to kind of include in there because you could see him in the red zone that Kirk Cousins was looking for Irv Smith a couple of times. I know one of the times he passed to Irv Smith for a touchdown, and another time he was definitely looking for Irv Smith before he threw it to Adam Thielen. So, yeah, I think he will become fantasy relevant. But either way, this is the start of a bi-pocalypse. I'm kind of looking forward to the next couple of weeks of who we've got on bye. Next week, next week we've got Kansas City and Los Angeles Chargers on a bye. So that's going to be a tough one. And the week after that, we've got Cleveland, Dallas, Denver, New York, Pittsburgh and San Francisco. So you're entering a couple of weeks where it's going to be tough for you. And I might do an episode on the bi-pocalypse, but honestly, talking about it each week ahead of the week, you can't really plan ahead because in any league worth of salt, there's going to be a little bit of scarcity. You're going to be playing these kind of positions where you have to think about who you're playing each week. So with that, we'll just deal with it week by week and see who we've got who can come in relief that you might think, all right, they can do a job for this week. And I think that's where you use the waiver wire. If you're looking to make big splash, you use trading, and we'll do a bit of an episode on trading later on this week. But yeah, that's where we're sticking for now. So with that, let's go through the lineup, and we'll start with QBs. And I already mentioned him in the kind of week review, but I think Jameis is still an interesting pickup. He's still only rostered in 14% of leagues, despite being the quote-unquote starter over there. I think Andy Dalton, as I mentioned, has just given himself enough rope to hang himself. He's not going to get a start. He's just not dynamic enough. And I think for the Saints to hang, they need to hang some onions and they need to really go for it. So I think Jameis is a really interesting play this week. I think it's going to be tough for him. Arizona, the defense is a bit stingy, but I think you know they can be thrown on. If you go deep, you know, you're going to get over some of the shorter corners as well. He maybe gets... I think he's more fantasy relevant if Michael Thomas comes back. You don't have to be a Michael Thomas owner to make Jameis relevant, but yeah, he is going to be... Does he maybe limit some of the production of Alvin Kamara and co? Maybe. But yeah, you know, at this point, if you're one of those people who maybe had, I don't know, Jalen Hurts and Kirk Cousins as your backup, or you've lost out on Josh Allen, you didn't really have any backup, you're kind of clutching at straws here. So maybe Jameis is an interesting one. This year, primetime football, Thursday night football, the Amazon games haven't produced spectacular games yet, but maybe this could break it. Jameis is all or nothing. He's either going to throw you three touchdowns or three interceptions. There is no in between unless it's three of each. So, yeah, I think he's an interesting pickup and he's still scarce enough to, I think, be worth a look. I think maybe someone who, if he is available in your league, pick him up. I would, because I think he's on the turn a little bit. And I think he's going up against a team that you could really target. And that's Tannehill versus Indianapolis. I mean, India giving up points to the Jags, left, right and centre. It was a big game. It was 34-27, I think. And you know, the defensive play from Indianapolis wasn't great. It wasn't like... the man with long hair, what's his name? Trevor Lawrence was carving them up. He was just, you know, serviceably pushing the ball around. Wasn't making any particularly fancy throws, I didn't think. But yeah, you know, they were carved up. So I think that's he'd be an interesting pickup. And weirdly, I was looking through his stats. He's only 20% rostered. So you know, you've got a 1 in 5 chance of being able to pick him up. And I don't think people are going to be looking for him immediately. And on the same game, Matt Ryan. I mocked someone, and I must apologise. If he's listening, John Byrne, I apologise. He spent 30 of his available fab bucks to secure Matt Ryan. It's a 2 QB league, so yeah, QB is at a premium. And a good friend Dan gave him up in a roster reconstruction. I actually tried to get him back for $1. He was outbid 30-1. And although we didn't start him, he was... vindicated. I was just like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you spending, you know, half your available bucks? But he did pretty well. I think he scored over 30 plus points in that, and he's still only 11% rostered in normal leagues. So in 1 QB leagues, he's about 11% rostered, and that's across 8, 10 and 12 man leagues as well. So yeah, and I think in a wild AFC South, anything is possible. Tennessee haven't got a great defense, so maybe Matt Ryan has some value there. There's also yeah, there's some people that I'd pick up if you get a chance and if you can see it. Yeah, if you can see it working. It's another primetime game pickup, but Mac Jones, if he was dropped, because I know a lot of people who dropped him, he's only 7% rostered. That's weird. I think he's serviceable. Again, if you're looking at getting through these next few bye weeks, he is a serviceable player who can get you through a week or two. So, yeah, I think if he's available and if he's healthy, go and pick him up. If not, if he's not healthy and you want some insurance for, yeah, if you're in a really deep league, Bailey Zappi is a great pickup. Boz, who I played this last week, picked him up a couple of weeks ago and he's really impressed. I don't think he's played him yet, but I think he wish he did because he lost that matchup. But yeah, he's been great and he's got the Bears this week. Yeah, whoever plays from that team has got the Bears this week. So, yeah, they're going to score something because the Bears are a bit trash. I know they've got some pass rush, but, you know, that's about it, really. And Bailey Zappi is only picked up in 0.3% of standard leagues. So he's a great dynasty pickup and a great normal pickup if he plays as well. Because I think he's growing in confidence, so I really like him. And you can tell we're scraping the barrel a little bit. But I think Zach Wilson, is a decent pickup. I think he's got more than the 110 yards he threw last week. I wouldn't play him for this week. I think he's got a tough matchup. But the reason I put him in there is he's available in 97% of leagues. Only 3% of people have trusted him. And I think with QB seeing such a volatile position and there being so many head injuries and what have you, I think he's a worthwhile pickup. I actually traded him away for Aaron Rodgers in a dynasty league. I'm not sure who won that one. we'll discuss that later on this week. But yeah, I think he's a great pickup if you can get him. And finally, I'll end with Kenny Pickett. I think when he was on the field, I had him as a sit this last week. I think when he was on the field, he was actually pretty good, and he's growing in confidence. He's definitely the kind of player you want to be in the Steelers. He's got that DNA in him. It was annoying that Mitch Trubisky did so well, but I think Kenny Pickett has proved himself in short play to be a starter. He can throw it, and he does what Tomlin wants to do. Tomlin doesn't necessarily, you know, I think maybe they're punting on the season a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised if that is the case, but they're still hanging in there. If I look at them, let's have a look at the AFC North, sorry. Oh, they're at 2-4, so they're in last, but that's a league where to win it, you're at 3-3 at the moment. They are the new, you know, AFC South potentially. The AFC is still so wide open, it's crazy when I look at it. But yeah, Kenny Pickett, I think, is an interesting pickup. And again, in 92% of leagues, he's going to be available. So yeah, if you're looking for something, then I would start with Mr. Kenny Smallhands Pickett. Right, moving forward to running back. It's difficult. It's really difficult because there are so few good running backs available because everyone's taken them. Everyone drafts running backs first. We know that. Zero RB is probably a thing that you should have gone for this year because some of the guys coming out, like Ken Walker and what have you, you could have picked up in late rounds. And Brian Robinson as well is proven well. Deion Jackson, if you were streaming running backs, you were laughing this last week. I had him on the bench. So stupid. It was in Dynasty, so I probably just won him for that insurance, but either way, I got played on that one. So I'll start out with someone who you're probably not available, but Travis Etienne, if he was dropped. He was dropped by a lot of people because there was just uncertainty in that play. And I think people panicked because it's the Jaguars. And Jaguars historically are not great, or haven't been the last few seasons anyway. But Travis Etienne, he is out-snapping James Robinson now. He's available in about 30% of the league, so he's still out there. You've got a kind of 3 in 10 chance of going after him. So I would look to him. I think he's going to get more and more utilized. This is effectively his rookie season. So, you know, treat him as such. And rookie running backs generally develop midway through the season, and he's doing just that. Brian Robinson, I think, proved himself as the real deal. Yeah, he didn't look great per carry, but he was trusted. I think that is the really, really big thing. He was trusted way beyond Antonio Gibson. He out-snapped him. And on the other side, I'd say Antonio Gibson, if you can get him, he's a good player to kind of pick up. The reason being, for two different reasons, Antonio Gibson per pickup, sorry, per reception, per carry, looked great. He outperformed Brian Robinson, but Brian Robinson got the volume because he's trusted. There's just something going on there, and I can foresee them trading him away before the deadline. I think there's going to be some movement. We've already talked about, you know, we haven't talked about it yet, actually, but there's talk about CMC moving. Yeah, maybe some of our Rams. You know, we don't want Cam Akers anymore. Cam Akers is probably going to get moved as well. Maybe there's some swapping and some, you know, dealing going on around there. I mean, the salary cap isn't a real thing, so players play, you know, big players can go to big teams and it not really be a thing because of reconstruction and what have you. If you've got the cash, then it works. But Antonio Gibson has got proven quality over the years, and on a per snap basis, outside of a few fumbles that he's, yeah, been, I think, unfairly marred with, he's great. I think he could get traded. He's rostered heavily. Yeah, 90% of rosters out there, he's there. I cut him in one of my rosters because I was too flush at running back, and I just needed to have a bit more balance in my turn, but I wish I hadn't, and I might go back and pick him up now because he could get traded. And if he gets traded to a position where he is going to be the undoubted starter, he is going to be good if he gets volume. Brian Robinson will get the volume. He's 55% rostered at the moment, but that means, you know, in half your leagues you can probably pick him up. If you're looking for a volume play, I think that's better than nothing. So I'd go for both of those if you can get them. Or if you can trade for one of them, I think it's worthwhile as well. You can probably trade very low for Antonio Gibson if you dare. I think Deion Jackson is a good pickup. I mentioned it before. I picked him up as an insurance in my dynasty. I didn't play him. Wish I had. Wouldn't have mattered. I probably still would have lost. But I think it's worthwhile noting that injuries can repeat themselves. And he had a bumper game in week 6, I think nearly 30 points as well. So very worthwhile pickup there. And Kenyon Drake, he's only picked up in 1.6% leagues because everyone thought J.K. Dobbins would be the lead. And again, it's a running back by committee where they pick and choose who starts based on the situation. And ultimately, Lamar Jackson is the running back. That feels mean saying that, but he is. But Kenyon Drake was very much the lead, and he was a reliable pass catcher as well, something that I think they haven't had in the likes of Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, really. I think J.K. Dobbins is better than Gus, but yeah, they're both runners. Kenyon Drake was very much the lead in Baltimore this last week. So yeah, they were my picks. So kind of running through that, that's Travis Etienne, Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson, Deion Jackson, Kenyon Drake. Antonio Gibson is the outlier there because he's not really particularly available, but if you can trade for him, I'd go do it if I can. I might try and pick that up somewhere as well. I've already got him in Dynasty, so I'm really hoping I can cash in at some point. And we'll move on to wide receiver really quickly as well. Actually, less quick because there's quite a lot of players in there who I think are really interesting. And we'll start with Romeo Doubs. Yeah, he hasn't had a great stat line, but I think it's all about opportunity. Cobb is out. They've got a game against Washington. That, I think, is opportunity. You know, just speak there. Taylor Heineke might be better than Carson Wentz, so maybe the game script won't quite go there. But Green Bay are looking to simplify the game, and maybe that'll work better for rookie wide receivers. But he's available in 48% leagues. If you're struggling, he's a player as well. And I think the next one is really, really interesting. He's probably my pickup of the week. If you can go after him, go after him. And it's Chase Claypool. Everyone's going after George Pickens, and George Pickens is great. I think he's, you know, going to be great. But wide receivers generally pick up in their second year. I think Chase Claypool is maybe third or fourth year now, but he's very overlooked and was during draft season. I don't know why. I picked him up in a couple of places and just stashed him. But he's still available in 60% of leagues, and he had a monster game. And that was with Mitch Trubisky. Imagine what he can do if he and, you know, Kenny Pickett actually build a bit of harmony there. So he is probably my pickup of the week if you're looking for a lot of value there. I think there's some interesting play to be had outside of the kind of typical names as well. I'd look at Mecole Hardman. He's had back-to-back double-digit points. It's not exciting, but yeah, he's done it against tough opponents, and the Kansas City slate cleans up a little bit over the next few weeks. He's available in 65% of leagues. He has a bye in week 8, so this is maybe a stash as well. I'd look at Josh Palmer. He's done really well in relief for Keenan Allen. This week, not so great. I think it was more of a Carter game this week. But, you know, Keenan Allen has been on and off the injury report all this last week and all next. He probably will be all this week, and I'm not confident in starting him as well. So, again, you can pick him up. He's only picked up in 2.4% of leagues. So that's the really deepest of leagues. So, again, that's another one I'd be looking at. Devin Duvernay, I've spoken about him a lot. He's a bit of a, you know, you'd expect him to be a target hog with no one else there. And Rashad Bateman maybe coming back. Maybe he needs to be the yin and yang. I don't know how it all works. He definitely whiffed against New York, but I think that was more Lamar. He's picked up at 37% league, so two-thirds of the time you're going to be able to get him. I think he has potential against weaker opponents, and I think he's got a good matchup against Cleveland because it's going to be that weak opponent, but yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting one. And finally, I'll go with Wandale Robinson. I don't know whether it was just the eyes. I haven't looked at the stats in particular, and I'm going to kind of look at the stats behind the scenes now. But as soon as he came on, he looked a bit like a bit of a target hog. And with such a narrow target tree, I mean, Darius Slayton, anyone? Kadarius Toney isn't really playing. I don't know what's... You know, I said I like the Giants. That feels really weird saying I like the Giants because... Yeah, historically, no one likes the Giants, right? But I like Saquon. That's someone I do like. But Wandale Robinson came on, and he felt like a target hog. And you know what? He was a little bit. He scored 12.7 points in PPR, only 37 yards and a receiving touchdown, but that felt like he was more involved with it. And again, he's a very new player. He's only rostered in 1.5% of leagues. He's maybe a very deep sleeper that I'd be looking at if Daniel Jones can actually not get hit all the time. I think that's something to be said for that as well. And finally, we'll move on to tight ends. It's a dumpster fire, so I'm going to run through this really quickly. But we've got Logan Thomas. He was inactive last week, but he's coming back in. Again, if we're looking at Taylor Heinicke playing, that insurance at tight end, he is a receiving, you know, he's a kind of pseudo big wide receiver guy. He's got been paid. I think he could be a half decent play. Yes, against Green Bay, whose defense has been soft. So, yeah, I think there might be some play there as well. Someone I am looking at intently is Mike Gesicki. He came to life last week. I think it's true that the Mike McDaniels offense needs blockers, but maybe they've realized that that's not in Gesicki's wheelhouse, that he's just another throwing weapon. And I think with Waddle and Hill going through kind of injury concerns week by week, yeah, he's got a chance to come back to life. He's still available in 70%+ of leagues. So, and he scored 20+ points. If you've got him, trade him high. If you don't, try and go get him, I guess. I'm going to stick back to the Giants again, flip back there. But Daniel Bellinger, I picked him up and then dropped him again in favor of someone else. I think in favor of Taysom Hill. That was stupid. But he seems to be one of the only trusted candidates in New York. And he's massively available, available in 99% of leagues. Again, Titans are dumpster fire. Go get someone that you can, you know, punt on, because the traditional names aren't giving you what outside of, you know what, outside of the top three, outside of Kelsey, Kittle and Andrews. And maybe Pitts. I'm yet to be convinced by Pitts, even though he did score. Yeah, we'll see there. But outside of those guys, you've got to punt on the tight end a little bit. I think Evan Engram is an interesting one. He's growing in trust. He'll get some points here and there, but he won't give you any goose eggs. I think that is the real key thing. And I've already spoken to about Irv Smith. He has a bye this week, but he's got good matchups in week 8 and 9, and he got in the end zone over Thielen. I think he gets looked at a lot. I think he'd be someone that I would be looking to target in waivers for future weeks. So that's your lot there. So just running back through my ever-increasing list of waiver wire ads who I'd like to... So at QB, we've got Jameis, Tannehill, Matt Ryan, Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi as a kind of twosome there. Kenny Pickett, Zach Wilson at running back, Travis Etienne. The Commanders tandem, if you can get a piece of that, I think that's worthwhile. Deion Jackson, because injuries can repeat themselves. And Kenyon Drake, if you want Beast of Baltimore. Wide receiver, it's a mixed bag, but my kind of pickup of the week is Chase Claypool, Romeo Dobbs, Mecole Hardman, Josh Palmer, Devin Duvernay, and Wandale Robinson, I think could be really interesting. And in the dumpster fire, that is tight ends, Logan Thomas, Mike Gesicki, Daniel Bellinger, Evan Engram, and a bit of a stash for Irv Smith. So, that's your lot this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you've gotten this far, if you switch to the end, I completely understand. People just want to get that kind of opinion on waiver wires. I'll see you later on this week where we'll do a bit of a trade episode and we'll do a preview of week 7 moving forward. But with that, thank you very much for listening, and I will see you on the virtual gridiron.